Christos Anesti, Christ is risen. Good morning, God bless you. On this last Sunday of the Paschal season, it's the last Sunday in which we say Christos Anesti, Christ is risen, and sing that hymn. But of course, it's only still, we're in the middle of a wonderful season of the year that still has a few weeks ahead of us. It hit me yesterday out of the blue when I just woke up and sat at the edge of the bed. And I don't know why this came to my mind, but I started thinking about God testing us. And I asked myself, I said, why do I hesitate to talk about God testing us? Because it's true, I generally don't get into that area. Because I don't feel very confident about talking about it. And even when someone asks me, is the Lord testing me? Is God testing me? I still, even there, I hesitate to answer, to say yes. So it just hit me out of the nowhere. Why do I have a problem with the idea of God testing us? It's all over the Bible. Right there from the beginning with Abraham, when it says God tested Abraham. And it's right there in chapter 12 of the Epistle to the Hebrews, about 6 or 7 times in that chapter, we hear about the discipline of God, the paideia of God, which is God's way of testing us and disciplining us and showing us how to live. So for example, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline, paideia, of the Lord, nor lose courage when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines or tests those whom he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It's right there that the Lord tests us, disciplines us, because in his eyes, we are children. Just as parents discipline their children, so also God disciplines us. And there are several words in the New Testament for this idea. So here in chapter 12 of Hebrews, it's paideia and paidevo that are the Greek words that are used, discipline. Elsewhere, the word is pirazo, which means to test. Like when the devil took Jesus to the mountains to pirazi afton, to epirazen afton, tested him. But also it means to tempt, especially when the tempter, opirazon, does it. Because that's one of the names for the devil in the New Testament, opirazon, the tempter, the tester. And there's another Greek word, dokimazo, which means to examine, to try out. Just like in the parable, when one of the guests at the great banquet said, excuse me, I have to go and dokimazo, I have to go and examine the sheep that I just bought. Test them, try them out. So it's all over the New Testament and the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, that quote from Hebrews chapter 12, my son, do not regard lightly, that comes from the Old Testament. It's a quote from the Old Testament. It's hard sometimes for us to talk about God testing us because we want smooth sailing through life. We don't want any bumps on the road. But it rarely happens that way. Very few of us, or none of us, will walk through life without a bump, without several bumps, without being tested. There will always be a test somewhere down the road. And look at today's gospel reading. It's not really about, like I said, I don't know where this idea about testing came from because it's not really part of the gospel reading today. But ask what the disciples ask. Why was this man born blind? And they ask silly things. They say, well, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that sinned that he was born blind. I mean, really? Intelligent? Well, don't forget, they were fishermen, so maybe they were not. They didn't go to Harvard or Columbia University to learn how to protest. But they were being silly. I mean, when did this man sin? Before he was born? In the womb? Maybe they're Buddhists, these disciples. Silly. And Jesus quickly replies to them. It was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but rather that the works of God might be made manifest in him. Because you see, every time the works of God are revealed to us human beings, they have several purposes. Usually to save, or to heal, or to forgive, to teach, but also to test. And there are tests in today's gospel miracle. And remember, as I told you before, in John's gospel, they're not called miracles. They are called signs, simia. They point to something. They point to some truths. And John calls them signs. They point to higher realities, higher spiritual meanings. And that is why Jesus says to the disciples today, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I'm here to bring light. I'm here to illumine your understanding, to get you out of your ridiculous thinking, and to show you how to believe and how to trust in the real truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. And so Jesus spat on the ground and made clay, applied it to the man's eyes, and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which John puts in parentheses. In Hebrew, it means sent. So Jesus sends him to the pool of Siloam to wash the clay out of his eyes, and the man sees. What do I see in that act? I see creation. In Genesis chapter 2, we read that God made Adam, the first human being, made Adam from the earth. He took earth and formed Adam, and then breathed into his mouth, and he became a living being, not just a mound of earth, but a living being. I see the same thing here happening. Jesus takes clay, takes earth, makes clay with a spittle, and applies it to the man's eyes. A new act of creation. And then he tells him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Baptism? Baptism? Just as we are baptized and we receive the breath of God through the Holy Spirit, so also here with the man, he reenacts the creation of humanity, the creation of Adam, and then tells him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. Be baptized in this new creation that you are. But now immediately comes the test. The man is sent into the maelstrom of human controversy, starting with his own neighbors who say, who is this? He was blind. Why does he now see? Is he the man? No, somebody else, and so on and so on. They start questioning him. And as if the neighbors are not bad enough, the Pharisees corner him, and the Pharisees torment him. Who did this? He is not a man of God. He's healing on the Sabbath. Repeated testing, and even by his parents, We do not know what happened. Ask him. He's old enough. He can speak for himself. And when we are tested, can't really blame this man. When we are tested, we often get confused. And we say the wrong thing. So with a man today, just like the disciples at the beginning of the reading with their silly questions, so also the man, did you hear him, what he said? When he was constantly harassed by the Pharisees and asking him, this man can't be of God, and so on. And so he blurts out this amazing bit of human wisdom. He said, we know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. If that's true, then forget about God ever listening to you or to me. If God does not listen to sinners, silly blind man who now can see, but obviously his mind is still not seeing. If God does not listen to sinners, if this man who healed me is a sinner, as the Pharisees were saying, well, we know God does not listen to sinners. That's not true. That's a lie. Because if that were true, God does not listen to anyone. Because we are all sinners. I don't know where he got that bit of earthly wisdom. Probably from the same place that many other popular sayings come from, like charity begins at home, or God helps those who help themselves, or cleanliness is next to godliness. People repeat those as if they are holy scripture. They are not. None of those are in the Bible. God does not help those who help themselves, with all due respect to the American entrepreneurial spirit and the do-it-yourself spirit. Neither does charity begin at home. And yet we say those things as if they are holy truths. So Jesus does not leave him, does not leave this man in his mistaken views, just as he didn't leave the apostles in their misconceptions. So Jesus finds the man. He does not wait to be found by him. He finds the man intentionally. And he says to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? He didn't ask, do you believe in God? He didn't even ask, do you believe in the Messiah? As a good Jew would ask. He asks the man, do you believe in the Son of Man? A specific title that Jesus preferred to use for himself. He didn't go around calling himself Son of God. He didn't go around calling himself the Messiah unless, except when he was cornered and asked specifically whether he was the Messiah by Pilate and by Herod and by the court. And there he did answer. But usually Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. A specific title that cannot be confused with anything else in popular belief or with anything in the pagan world. The man is confused, is dumbfounded. And who is he, Lord? Who is he, sir, that I may believe? And Jesus said, you have seen him, and it is he who speaks to you. I who speak to you am the Son of Man. And the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. The man's healing could not be complete without the testing that he endured, without the testing at the hands of his own people. The neighbors, the Pharisees, and even his parents. And finally, the testing of Christ himself. Son of Man cannot be confused with common trivia like charity begins at home or God helps those who help themselves. And anybody can talk about God. There are many gods in the world and many people who believe in God and they think they can find him anywhere. And Jesus says, no. Only in the Son of Man do you find God. Only in the Son of Man is the truth of God incarnate. So don't talk to me about finding God in trees, by the seashore, finding God while watching news. Only in the Son of Man. Jesus had to be very plain, very direct with this man, and he tested him with the ultimate question. Do you believe in the Son of Man? That's what we should ask each other. When somebody comes up to you and says to you, do you believe in Jesus? Turn to him and say, do you believe in the Son of Man? Because that's the Lord, the Word of God, who became incarnate and pitched his tent among us. Eskinosen in Imin, pitched his tent. That's why he calls himself Son of Man. He is with us. He's one of us. But he leads us to where we have become more than what we are. But I'm not finished with you today yet, still, sorry. I still need to overcome my hesitation to talk about testing. And today's epistle reading comes to my help. It was read a little while ago. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That's the Son of Man. That's what the Son of Man does for us. We are crushed, but we are not defeated. We are tested by all the evils of the world and by all the tempters of the world. But if we believe in him, if we believe in the Son of Man, we are not crushed. And his life, the life of Jesus, becomes manifested in our mortal flesh. No matter how much you fail the test, no matter how much you made a mess of your life, if you believe in the Son of Man, his life will be manifested in your mortal flesh. No matter how crushed or confused you feel by your mistakes or the mistakes of others, do not despair, do not give in to the tempter, opirazon. Because he works very hard to trip you up. But Christ works harder. So don't let the tempter shield your eyes from seeing the work of the Lord in you. There is a simple test, actually, that you have for the tempter. There is a little thing you can do to drive away that despair and that feelings of defeat. So, to everything that trips you up, say, May it be blessed. Να ευλογημένο. May it be blessed. He run away from you. He has no love for blessings. So every time you mess up, just collect yourself and say, may it be blessed. May it be blessed. Because the Son of Man comes to anoint your eyes and your heart with new healing grace. He is remaking you a new creation every day. And that is why we say, Christ is risen.